You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it is time for our weekly chat with the Green Party. It is a pleasure to welcome onto the show Materia Ture. How's it going, Materia?
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Are you in Dunedin today?
No, in Wellington. We're about to start the first of 3 weeks sitting period before the place closes down for Christmas, so back here getting sorted.
Before we all go on holiday. Cool. So the first thing I want to talk about today is the FTA with China. There's talks about upgrading it coming from John Key. Do you think that's a necessary
Are you able to turn yourself up? I'm finding it very difficult to hear you.
Sure. How's that?
Okay. Yep. Sorry about that.
No worries. So we've got the talks to upgrade the 8-year-old New Zealand-China Free Trade Agreement to start early next year. Do you think it's a necessary adjustment for us to make to upgrade that agreement?
It's certainly essential to make sure we include environmental and labour standards. This was our big criticism of this agreement initially, and it will continue to be a criticism that we hold against all free trade agreements, is that they don't take proper account of good labour laws and good environmental standards. There's no doubt that some will benefit economically from free trade agreements, but there is also a cost, and we can help avoid that cost by making sure these agreements are well-rounded, they're holistic, and that they improve circumstances for particularly poorer communities across all the countries that are involved. So, I mean, I don't know exactly the specifics of what they're looking to upgrade it to. I imagine also there's a lot of concern at the moment about improving New Zealand's reputation in Asia in particular. But, you know, we also need to set really clear standards for the kinds of agreements that we would have in New Zealand so that they're honourable.
I know that Green Party MP Barry Coates has said that he is wary about what China might want in return and that the government might wish to tread carefully. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, I haven't talked to Barry about his comments, but I think he's right to raise concerns that China is, because it's such a significant economic power, and because National in particular doesn't value environmental standards and decent labour laws, that they're really just looking at the bottom line for the people, the businesses they advocate for, which tend to be the bigger businesses, not the smaller New Zealand businesses, then there is a real risk that John Key will pretty much, do anything to get a little bit more for the people that he advocates for. So there's a real risk here that New Zealand goes into this, John Key goes into this with a quite a low base for a renegotiation. this is the thing. I think we've seen it with John Key and his advocacy for the TPPA, is that actually, the supposed gold standard agreement didn't come about, and they settled for a very poor agreement in the end. I think that's the kind of risk that we run with the renegotiation of the China FTA.
Right, and at the same time, as you say, it's an opportunity to adjust things like labour laws so that they do reflect more fairly upon the little guy rather than...
Yeah, I mean, and there are some interesting things happening in China, particularly in the area around sustainability, there's solar stuff, and there's a really interesting project around solar schools, and there is some good stuff there. And the question then becomes, is when John Key advocates for New Zealand in these trade agreements, is he looking to those kind of sustainable technologies, those new ideas, the kind of 21st century approach, or will they retain this obsession with 20th century economics that's led to record high inequality here and massive levels of climate change and pollution? So there is opportunity here with the China FTA, but it's highly unlikely that National will take up that opportunity, because they just don't think about, they're not thinking about the 21st century. They're not thinking about New Zealand in 2050 and the kind of economy we should be there.
Right, so that could reflect very strongly in the future, whether for good or bad. just to move on now to a new bill from your party, the Green Party, to help young people into home ownership. Could you explain a little bit about how that would work?
Essentially, that's students who are having to pay back a student loan once they finish, they'll be able to divert, rather than paying back the student loan, if they choose to do this, to divert the equivalent of those payments into a home ownership kind of account, and it could be a variety of different forms, in order to be able to save a deposit for a home. We know that student loans, because of their incredible burden as a debt, but also the fact, the way that they, the extent, the cost to a student's family when they are paying that those loans back, it means that they aren't able to save for a deposit for a house, and a whole lot of other financial consequences as well. So this is a means by which we can and support students who have finished to be able to save a deposit for a house, to improve their housing security, and to at least start the process of some financial stability for themselves and their families, and to alleviate some of the burden of the debt of the student loans. But, I mean, we've got to remember too, when we talk about students, often when you say that word, people think about, you know, 18 or 19 year olds leaving school and going to university. But we're talking about those who are finishing their degrees. A vast number of them already have families that they're trying to take care of, partners and kids, and they're starting new jobs off the back of many years of a student loan where they're in significant debt, so they're already financially behind. And we need to find a way of giving those families a bit more of a head start.
Right, and but that extends to other benefits as well, I suppose, like motivating these people to stay in New Zealand if they can buy their own house, then you don't lose those people who have invested, the government has invested money in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we may well see more New Zealanders staying home, more New Zealanders staying home rather than going overseas. But it also is it stops the whole student loan business being such a punitive one. I mean, we're already hearing about people being harassed by agencies to pay back the student loans. We know that the student loan itself operates as this massive disincentive and this brake, actually, on a person's ability to, you know, build a new life for themselves post their degree. So we really just need to make education, like getting a degree, getting educated, a real benefit to that person and their family, as opposed to a huge burden, which is what it is with a massive student loan that you have to pay off, especially at the low rates, at the low level of income that you have to start. So, you know, these are... The student loan system has is a massive structural problem in our economy and in our, and more importantly in our social environment. And that, you know, if people are not buying able to buy a home, they're putting off having children. You know, there's a huge amount of consequences from the student loan system. And so, if we can do some things to reverse the burden of this structural inequity that is the student loan system, you know, that's all good.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.